Anghor, Yevor Po, Yevor Winsor Po, Amen. Lent, as I always say, is a time for learning about our faith. And the best place to start learning about something is the beginning. And so, this is why we are learning about creation during this Lenten season. And throughout the Sundays of Lent, we have been learning about each day of creation according to St. Nerses the Grace-Filled, who is from the 12th century, 1173, and he wrote a song, which is found on these pieces of paper, which are in the back. And on this paper, he writes a song for the faithful to sing. It is in Armenian, and it is in English. And the English also, you can sing the English. The Armenian is Chan Hanturja Abnutian Barguin Unel Piyan Zanjarbari. And then the English, oh, the good one's nature could not bear the awesome good one as sole heir, Yevon, Yevon, etc., etc. So, this is the song for the day of Friday, the sixth day of creation. And he says, we've already learned that how God created the heavens, the earth, the angels, plants, the sun, the moon, the stars. Last week we learned how he created the fish and the birds, and how St. Nerses compares the creation of birds and fish in particular in water, to our creation through baptism, the waters of baptism. Today, Friday, the sixth day of creation, God creates land animals, and he creates the pinnacle of all creation, man, humans. A favorite question of children is, what is the meaning of life? They have lots of questions, but one of them is, what is the meaning of life? Why are we born? Why are we created? Why did God create man? And the answer, according to St. Nerses the Grace-Filled, says, because God is so good, he is so beneficent, that he wants to share that goodness with others. He can't share it with the birds or the trees or the sun or the moon, but he wants to share it with someone who has what's called in Greek logos, rationale, who can think, who can speak, who can feel, who can hurt, who can laugh, who can understand, and who can speak. And so he creates this thing called man. And he creates, and this is true, he shares his goodness with man. And this is true for all of us. When we are given blessings from God, whether it be money or time or skills or something physical or food, because we are good, we cannot keep it to ourselves only. We share it. We share it with our children, our grandchildren, with strangers, with neighbors. Go to any grandma's house and you will see the sharing take place. They share everything. Everything. Because they are full of goodness. But in this world, we know there is goodness and there is evil. There is badness. And the badness that exists in this world is because Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They disobeyed his commandment not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as a result, they became mortals. They became susceptible to death. This means that we were created not to die. We were created to live for eternity, but we have brought this upon ourselves. This is what the name human means. Human comes from the Latin word humulus, which means ground. This is where we get, I think, when you go and you do planting, what's it called? The humus? Humus. It's a type of layer of the ground. Humus. Human. Humility means ground also. All these come from the same root word. These all come from the same root. Because we were made from the ground, and to the ground we will return. And in the Armenian, the word mart, which means man, is compared to the, or related to the word mernil, which means to die. Man is to die. That is his destiny as of now. God, showing the tree to Adam and Eve, gave the command, do not eat from this tree. Eat from any tree in the garden, but do not eat from this tree, the tree of good knowledge of good and evil. For if you do, on that day that you do, you will surely die. Now, for many of us growing up in Western culture, we understand this as a threat or as a punishment. If you eat this, I will kill you. You will die because of that. It's a punishment, so don't eat it. But in the ancient Christian world, this is not how it was understood. The Armenians don't understand it this way, nor do any of the Orthodox, nor do any of the ancient churches understand it this way. But rather than it being a punishment, it is a warning. If you do this, this is going to happen. So don't do it. This is what's going to happen to you. I know what's going to happen. So don't. I know you're going to get hurt. You're going to die. Don't do it. And this is what happens, though. They don't listen. God tells us many times not to do things, and yet we still do it, thinking we know better, or because of curiosity. My daughter, when she was very, very young, my wife was holding her near the stove, and we had an electric stove. And as they turned the electric stove on, naturally, the coils became red hot. And my daughter, being very young, I think she was 2 or 3 years old, curious, wanted to touch it. And my wife said, "Don't touch it. You're going to get burned." And my wife turned to the side for a moment, and my daughter reached out and touched it. And she burned her hand. Now, is that punishment? No. Was that a threat, my wife was saying? No. Was it a result and a warning? Yes. This is what God tells Adam and Eve. If you do it, this is going to happen, so don't do it. But they don't listen. And as a result, death, pain, and sin has come into this world.
Is it a physical or spiritual death?
We're going to get to that. Right now it is physical death. And it's spiritual, but we're going to get into the remedy for that. It is similar as today's church fathers, they compare it to a baby whose mother takes drugs when they are born or during their pregnancy, usually cocaine. And when the child is born, they're called a cocaine baby. They have this addiction to cocaine. The child is not guilty of this. The mother is. And as a result, the child's world has been changed because the mother did not listen. As a result, our world has changed because our first mother and first father did not listen. That does not mean there is no hope, though. And as Deacon Sarkis pointed out, there is hope coming. But Adam and Eve ate from the tree. And God comes and questions them, and questions Adam. He says, "Adam, what did you do?" And Adam's first response, "That woman that you gave me, you made for me. I didn't want it. You didn't ask me for it. I didn't ask you for it. That woman you gave me told me to do this." And so God goes to Eve and says, "Eve, what did you do?" And Eve says, "That serpent over there told me to do it." And God doesn't even give the serpent a chance to respond. He automatically and immediately curses it. But this is not a unique story of placing blame on someone else. And this happens today. So often when we make mistakes, so often when we sin, we try to either justify our actions. When we know they're wrong, we try to justify them, saying we didn't know all the information. We thought we were doing the right thing. I assumed this was going to happen. Or we try and place the blame on someone else. "Well, he told me this, so that's why I did it. She told me this." Even though we know better, we still listen to someone else, and we place the blame on someone else. And this is something that we must learn to grow out of. We hope that children grow out of that, right? Children, when they're fighting with each other, the mom usually comes over and says, "Why are you hitting each other?" And one of them will say, "He started it. He hit me first." Well, that doesn't mean you should hit him back. You don't try and justify your actions. Just don't do it, right? If Eve had eaten from the garden, from the tree, Adam should have said, "No, I'm not going to eat." But he didn't. And this is something that we continue to live in today. In the story of creation, there are two trees that are named specifically. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. And when Adam and Eve eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God automatically and immediately casts them out of the garden and puts an angel next to the tree of life with a sword that's spinning around so that they cannot approach that tree and eat from that also. Because if they eat from the tree of life or the tree of eternal life, what will end up happening is they will live in eternal sin and death and pain. So for their benefit, he casts them out. Now, through Christ's incarnation, his death, and his resurrection, we are given the chance now to eat from the tree of life. So the first question is, what is the tree of life? For Armenians, we have always seen the cross as the tree of life. Always. It is in the design. The tree of life as the cross, as you can see, an Armenian cross, on each corner has budding flowers. It's not a dead piece of wood. It is a live tree that is producing flowers. And sometimes on some, you will see, we don't have any here, in the church we do, on the altar. Underneath you see vines coming out. Or you see grapes growing from it. This idea of life and regeneration and rejuvenation and resurrection. It's not a dead piece of wood that we cut, but is a living tree. So the question then is, if this is the tree of life, what is the fruit that hangs from the tree of life? And the fruit for the Armenians and for all ancient Christians, the fruit of the tree of life that hangs from the tree of life is Christ. Christ hangs from the tree, right? We're going to celebrate this in two Fridays from now, on Good Friday, his crucifixion. And so then we say, how can we eat the tree of life, or the fruit of the tree of life? And for us, it's communion. It's Holy Communion. We are given this opportunity every Sunday to eat the body and blood of Christ. But the question then asks, or the question then stands, is how often do we do this? Do we even do this? Do we do this and realize what we're doing, or do we do this because my grandparents did it, and so I don't want to upset them, even though they're dead. I don't want to upset them, and so I'm going to do this. Do we do this because we need it, or do we do this just because it's something that Armenians do?
They get in line.
They see a line and there's something free. And so we're going to follow that line and see what we get. Right? But in the Armenian church service, in the liturgy on page 44, the priest turns around and when he says, Isul Pisul, right? He then says, Sa Egyan. This is life, hope, resurrection. Kabutunya Tomutun. Forgiveness and remission of sins. This is life. If you want life, come forward. But so often we don't. So often we say, I don't want to feel awkward. I don't want people thinking I sinned. Believe me, I know you sinned. I know all of your sins. And I've sinned too. I know it all, okay? I have a direct line with God. He tells me, trust me. But I know we all sin. And we all are in need of this remedy called Christ. How many times do we have our fellow Armenians and Christians out there who are dying, who are suffering, who are sinning, who think they know the cure, and they choose different things? Self-help books, narcotics, drugs, alcohol, pornography, gossip, many, many, many things. They choose those fruits to cure their pain. And yet, those fruits are only temporary. They last for about a week or a month or so, and then they go bad. But the eternal life, the fruit of Christ, is never ending. And it does not go bad. And it's up to us as Christians to go out and bring them to church and to have them know that when they have Christ in their life and they eat from the body and blood of Christ, they eat from the tree of life, there's no more death. There's no more pain. There's no more suffering. There's no more sin. There's only life. So it is my prayer that we recognize that we were not created to die. We're not supposed to die. We're supposed to live for eternity. That's what God's purpose was. But again, because we don't listen, we have brought this upon ourselves. But that the remedy of Christ exists, and that he is offered to us every Sunday, sometimes more often than that. More often than that. And that he is not far away, and that the tree of life is not surrounded and protected by an angel with a flaming sword to stop us, but is given freely to everyone who comes and approaches and asks for it.
Amen. Amen.